And I knew Hawthorne very well, and he'd been delivering mail to us for 20 years. So, I mean, I really knew him. And he came running with a sealed airmail letter and said, "Walter, you've got to read this letter from your cousin in Winnipeg. Going to go meet you at the station." Oh, he'd opened the letter. That's okay. He was part of the family. But he absolutely made sure I got this letter. And so the voyage was February. I sailed from Liverpool. From Liverpool to Halifax. But this consul said, "You can take this boat and there's no extra charge for going Liverpool, Halifax, New York." And he said, "Not only, but is the train fare cheaper for them, of course, from New York, but it's a regular train, a regular compartment for regular people, whereas the train from Halifax is a glorified cattle car for immigrants, not terribly comfortable at all. So I recommend stay on the boat when you get to Halifax. It's a day's sail, you get into New York." So I did that. The other thing he told me was, the only bad thing about that is you have to get a visa, since you have a British passport, to go through the United States. So you've got to go to the American consulate in Glasgow to get this visa. No charge, but you just get it. But he said, you've got to watch. They'll ask you some questions, and don't be what we nowadays call a smartass. When they ask you whether you've been a member of the Communist Party, just say no. Don't say, "What the hell, you know, is you trying to do here?" You know, and he said, "Not only that, but don't wear a red tie. Be really safe. Wear black shoes, not brown shoes." Well, you laughed at that one, but so I did exactly that. And sure enough, I went there and interviewed, and this little kid of a vice consul, I said, "Have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?" I didn't breathe. I didn't say anything. I just said no. So I got to New York.
And then you took the train up to...
Yep. And on my way through on the train, there was this big French-Canadian. And he wanted to see my passport. And he saw this two-year work permit that I had in there. And he said, "I'm going to give you this." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's a landed immigrant status." I said, "I don't want it." Because I figured maybe I'd do national service all over again in Canada. I didn't know. And he said, "You've got to have it or throw you off the train. You can't get into Canada." Okay. So I've got this lousy stamp. And that's, of course, what nowadays everybody's been looking for. It's just a little stamp. I operated with my British passport till 1975. Because the day I landed, I was able to, well, I think it was after 3 months, I was able to vote. I was just had all the rights of a Canadian citizen. In 75, that changed. You got to be a Canadian citizen as well as a British subject.
So when you were in Canada and people said, "Who are you?" Were you German? Were you Scottish? What were you?
They just assumed I was Scottish. When I got a job after... Well, I had a job within a couple of days. Not in what I wanted, but after 3 months I did. I was right in the feed business. Mm-hmm. But I was posted to a place called Dauphin, Manitoba, and for Canada Packers. They were the biggest in Canada, and it was a nice company. Being accepted was just not... It was never a topic of conversation, for sure.
Because everybody's an immigrant.
Yes. There was one man in town, Mr. Oliphant. He owned a hardware store. He came from Glasgow when he was 6 years old. He was an orphan. When I got to Dauphin, I was told, "You've got to go and see old man Oliphant." He was an old man by then. Nobody can understand him. So I went to the store, old man Oliphant, and spoke to him. He first greeted me. I couldn't understand a word he said. And I said, I'm from Glasgow. He spoke quite normal Canadian. He said, "That's the reputation I have. Nobody can understand anything I say except the price." And he was popular. I mean, he was a good guy. He knew his stuff. I mean, he spoke something that wasn't Glaswegian. It was just something. Anybody from Glasgow would realize this was not...
This was a made-up accent.
He made it up all in his own ear. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, so you had your job, and then later on, was it when you retired that you started working for UNESCO?
Yeah, and I worked out of Winnipeg, mm-hmm. Dauphin for 3 years, Morden, Manitoba for 3 years. And then I moved to Saskatchewan in November 62 and worked for Intercontinental Packers for 25 years. And then I did international consulting for United Nations FAO Food and Agriculture Organization, the World Bank, CEDA, Canadian International Development Agency, and they farmed me out to different people. Yeah, worked in six continents. I missed one.
Which one was that?
Antarctica. There you go.